This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. May God add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Thank you. So I was reading, I came across an ancient book that they had scanned and put on so you could read it. Is called Jewish Fairy Tales. This book is a collection of old Jewish tales that were told, not fantasy per se, just kind of fables. You would think of like Aesop's fables and such. And I came across this one that, for the theme of this message, I'd like to transfer. Instead of being about a Jewish man, it'll be about a pilgrim. So I read this story of a pilgrim who was walking down the road on an ice cold day. It was icy cold, brutally cold. And as he went down this road, to the side of him, he saw a snake coiled up and freezing to death. And this old man who had a walking stick with him had a sense of compassion on this old, coiled up, frozen snake. And he thought to himself, you know, the Bible says that we are to be caretakers of God's creation. So this old pilgrim steps to the up to the snake and takes it and puts it under his coat and holds it close to warm up the snake. And as the snake felt the warmth of the pilgrim's body, it started to warm up and thaw out, and soon it regained its strength. And after the snake had been warmed up, with the pilgrim holding the snake close, the snake wrapped itself around the body of the pilgrim. And then the snake started to constrict the pilgrim. The old pilgrim felt the snake constrict around his body. And so, baffled, he looks at the snake and he says, "Why are you doing this to me? I had compassion on you. You were freezing to death. I reached out to you and saved you. Why are you showing this ingratitude?" And the snake, constricting the man, looked up and said, "It is true that you had compassion. It is true that you reached out to me. But it is also true that I am a snake. And the good book says that the serpent shall be at enmity with the seed of the woman." You see, when I read that, I thought to myself, how ungrateful of that snake. How unthankful of that snake. But I realized what the snake was getting at was that it is in my nature to do this. Yes, you may have saved me. You have given me another opportunity, but I'm a snake. It's in my nature to do what I do. As I read that, and I thought of giving thanks, it is in the nature of the fallen human race to be ungrateful. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, 18 to 21, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has made it known. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." But listen now. "Although they knew God," this is the human race, "although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts." You see, it is in the nature of the human race to be unthankful to God. In fact, the Bible actually teaches that ingratitude, unthankfulness, will increase as the Lord's return gets closer. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control," and so on. So it is a mark of the generation that is present with the Lord's return that generation will be marked by unthankfulness. Our world tries to manufacture this idea of being thankful. I was just talking to someone about this the other day, about how, you know, with the Thanksgiving season, the world tries to manufacture this sense of thankfulness, but oftentimes it is more of this idea of having gratitude in your soul and not really being thankful to God. It is just kind of this attitude that you should have, just be grateful, have an attitude of thankfulness, and there's no recipient of it. And it's more of just this new agey idea of having a mentality that's supposed to help your own your own mind and your own soul, this kind of internal focus of being grateful. Isn't that interesting? The modern idea of being thankful is internally focused. Be thankful so that you are a better and more positive person. What? That's an oxymoron. The Bible teaches that we are to be thankful, but to be thankful to God for all that He has given us. But if thanksgiving is in our nature, how can we overcome? Well, our text this morning tells us this. You see, people want to receive thanksgiving for themselves. When people do something, they want to be thanked. It is a mark of Christian immaturity to do something and want to receive praise from men. It is a mark of Christian maturity to do all things to the glory of God and be perfectly fine if you're unthanked for it. But our text shows us that thanksgiving is a command to be obeyed. Did you know that? Being thankful is a command. It is a command. That's why the title of this message is "Do Give Thanks." Do it. But you'll see that it is something that comes as a result of our relationship to Christ, not something that we just manufacture. But look at this in Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 15. "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful." Be thankful. It is a command. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you see the same idea, that thanksgiving is a command to be obeyed by God's people. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15, "See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Finally, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 18. No, excuse me, 18 to 20, Ephesians chapter 5, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see that this is a command. And what you'll see in our text here is that the command to be thankful is something that comes as a result of our relationship to Jesus Christ. Paul is writing to the Colossians that they need to have their whole being transformed. Look back, if you will, in chapter 3, verse 3, "For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." And then he talks about putting off your members which are on earth. You see, when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, there's a radical transformation that happens in your life. Radical. You are changed. God does a work in you. But yet that old man still struggles within us, and we fight and we battle, and ingratitude is the old man. Being thankful is the new man that we are called to be. So it is a command. First, in our text here, look at verse 17. It says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." First, we see in this passage that doing thanksgiving, that is, following the command of God to be thankful, doing thanksgiving incorporates our whole lives. It incorporates our whole lives. Look at the text. "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." The grammar for the phrase "giving thanks to God" is connected to the command "do all." So what he is saying is, whatever you do, do all giving thanks to God. And so that means that every single aspect of our being should be affected and influenced by being thankful to God. Now, I can admit in my own life that I have these seasons of ingratitude, these seasons where I don't give thanks to God. And I read that and I think to myself, does that mean that every moment of every day, of every second, of every life that's here present needs to be where you're just, "I thank you, God, I 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 thank you, God"? Is that doing all giving thanks to God? Is that what he means? Well, that would be impossible, and honestly, that would be foolish, because we have things to do that we need to focus on, so we can't in that moment literally say in our heads, "I give you thanks, I give you thanks." What Paul is getting at, what God is teaching us, is that our whole lives should be influenced with a heart which is being grateful to our Heavenly Father. That everything within us is permeated by this attitude of gratitude. It's not that every single 100% ounce of us is focused on and continually just saying this thanksgiving. It is that as we go about our day, whether we are going through the most horrible, difficult circumstances in our lives, or whether we are experiencing the blessing of God for a season of where things are going well, that our heart and our soul and our being is influenced by this grateful heart giving thanks to God. Is that a description of our lives? I have this little bottle at home. It's called Mio. It's a flavor enhancer. I kind of enjoy a little bit of it sometimes. Once in a while, I'll get a bottle of water or a glass of water, and I take that Mio and I turn it over and I squeeze it, and a little squirt comes out, and I shake it up, and the whole bottle becomes flavored by this flavor enhancer. Now, obviously, what I am therefore drinking is not straight flavor enhancer. If I were to take that bottle and open it up and squeeze it and shoot it in my mouth, I'd probably drop down and faint, being overwhelmed by the power. But rather, the flavor enhancer is affecting everything in the water. And that's the way Thanksgiving should be. It should be that every ounce of our being is permeated with a heart which is thankful to God. And so, as we do go about our day, we can give thanks to God openly and actively because that is what is permeating our souls. And so it doesn't matter what you're going through, we can be thankful to God. And the Bible gives us just many reasons. We'll look at a couple here. If you turn back to Colossians chapter 1, verse, let's start in verse 11. Paul is praying to the Colossian church that they would be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. You read that verse right there and you realize that when you trusted in Jesus, he qualified you. He made you qualified to be a partaker of the inheritance in heaven. He gave you an inheritance. He gave you a spot in his heaven with all the rest of God's people. And so when you think of that, it's like this flood of gratitude should enter our hearts so that we are thankful that God has qualified us to be his children. Or turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, you see another reason that all of our being can be permeated with thanksgiving to God. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Let me read that again. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. What that means is, God has in Christ offered to you every single spiritual blessing that you could possibly conceive of. It's there. It's in the bank, ready for you to draw, ready for you to receive. Whatever you need, in whatever situation you're going through, it's there. It's available. It's in Christ. Draw from it. Receive it. That's a reason that we can have thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Have we stopped to meditate on the abundance of all that God has bestowed upon us? Not just the abundance of, I got a car, I've got a house, I've got clothes, I've got food. The abundance of salvation, the abundance of spiritual blessings, the abundance of a home in heaven, the abundance of the presence of the Holy Spirit, never to leave us, never to forsake us. We are sealed unto the day of redemption. When we think and meditate on that, and then we read, do all giving thanks to God the Father through him, it comes just through. It just comes through. So not only does thanksgiving incorporate our whole lives, but we see also in this passage that doing thanksgiving, that is following the command, includes both words and deeds. Verse 17 of Colossians 3, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So whatever we do, we give thanks. And whatever we do, it is in word or in deed. So doing thanksgiving includes both words and deeds. That is to say that it should be something that is spoken by the lips. And it is also something that should be lived in our lives. Look, if you will, in Psalm 145, you see this idea that giving thanks to God, praising God, is something that should be literally leaving our lips. In Psalm 145, if you follow along here, it says, I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare, spoken, your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Listen, verse 6. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts. And I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. Look down in verse 10. All your works shall praise you. Your saints shall bless you. Look, they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. So giving thanks, praising God, being grateful should be through our words. And that's easy when we're in church, isn't it? It's easy to stand and say, I'm thankful to God for this, and I'm thankful to God for this, I'm so thankful for that. But how about when you're alone and you're on your knees before your Heavenly Father? Are you equally as thankful to God and giving Him the thanks that He deserves? Or how about when you're in the presence of people who don't go to church? People who don't know the Lord as Savior. Where if you were to use half the language in their presence that we do in church, they would think you were speaking in tongues. You see, thanksgiving should be on our lips, even in the presence of those who don't give thanks to God. Why? Because it is making them think about who we should be thankful for what we have received. We need to speak thanksgiving. Now, I'm very thankful to God that it says not just words, but also deeds in verse 17. It says, give thanks, whatever you do, in word or deed. Because it is possible, listen now, it is possible as a Christian to obey the command to give thanks by, with your lips, saying thank you, but living a life which is representing someone who is ungrateful to God. It does not make sense to be a Christian to say, I'm so thankful to God, I thank God for this and that, and yet to live as if you do not care about the salvation He calls you to, you do not want to live the life He wants you to live. It would be a contradiction. It would totally erase the glory He receives for that thanksgiving. We not only need grateful lips, we need a grateful life. I've shared this story perhaps too many times, but it was such a turning point in my life, so I'll share it again. When I first became a Christian, and soon before I was a Christian, there was this real bracket of time that God was really reaching me. And even after I first was born again, there was this real season of just uprooting all this selfishness that was within me. And one of the big issues I had when I first became a Christian was driving habits were very poor. Very poor driving habits. I was a very distracted driver at 18, 19. And I had this Subaru Forester that I was very proud of because I liked Subarus. And I drive this around. And one night, it was a rainy night. I didn't take care of the tires. They were very worn down and dull. I was driving, taking an exit off of 95 South in Rhode Island, and the roads were wet, and my rear end kept turning, and I fishtailed, and I turned and hit a guardrail and totaled the vehicle, and I walked out unharmed. And I was just amazed. Somebody near and dear to my heart, when that happened, felt led by the Lord, I believe, to buy me a vehicle after I totaled that one. Somebody actually gave me a vehicle. I didn't pay for it, at least that I remember. There's a lot of foggy memories in that time period. And so I had this new vehicle that I could drive. Within a couple months, I was going up 95 on North and I wasn't paying attention and traffic stopped. I didn't. And my Toyota Corolla turned into a Toyota accordion. Just the hood, though. The engine was okay. And as you know, I had to replace the hood. And it was a black hood and a red car, spray painted red, and the sun faded pink. So I had to reapply the lipstick every so often. It was a very humbling experience. But what happened was I was thankful that somebody gave me a new car, but I was ungrateful because I treated it like nothing. And so many of us as Christians, we're so thankful for salvation. We're so thankful for the gifts He's given us, the money He's given us, the food He's given us, the family, the friends. We're so thankful, but we're selfish. And we treat them like everyday common things. So we need a grateful life. If I was truly thankful for the gift of somebody giving me a vehicle when I was in a desperate situation because I didn't have the money, I didn't have a vehicle, and I was grateful, I would have treated that thing so precious and cared for it and made sure that I learned to drive safely. If you're truly thankful to God for salvation, wouldn't you want to obey God with the power of the Holy Spirit you've been given and not just live in sin like it's okay? If you've truly been thankful to God for other believers, wouldn't you want to encourage and draw attention to God's work in their life rather than slander and gossip each other? If you're truly thankful for God for the food you eat, wouldn't you want to use the energy that the food produces in you to follow Jesus and use your energy to serve the Lord? I mean, we say thanks before a meal, we eat the food, it comes in our body, turns into energy, and we just serve ourselves with the energy. If you're truly thankful to God for a favorable election, wouldn't you want to take every opportunity in a free country to spread the gospel openly without hindrance? Does your life not only speak gratitude, but live a grateful life? We need to do thanksgiving with words and deeds. Thanksgiving should incorporate everything. Finally, thanksgiving is accomplished. This happens, the source of this, doing thanksgiving is accomplished through the Lord Jesus. I love the end of this verse. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Through Him. Because at this point, if I just stop the sermon, pray, go our way, we're going to say, okay, I need to think, I need to be thankful, I need to be everything, so I'm just going to do it. It's going to produce it. But we're serpents by nature. We need the grace of God, the power of God, the Holy Spirit to change us and work in us so that we can give thanks to God. So it says it is through Jesus. It is through Jesus. It says here that it is through the Lord Jesus. Well, one way that we can be thankful through Jesus is to look to His example. To look to His example. You see, Jesus is a representative of all who God's people should be and how He lived. And so when you read the Gospels and you study Christ, you see that He did live a thankful life to His Heavenly Father. He often gave thanks to the Father. In John chapter 6, verse 11, Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples distributed them to who were sitting down, and likewise of the fish. When He fed the 5,000, He gave thanks. Before He raised Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11, they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank You that You have heard Me. On the night of His betrayal, when He instituted the Lord's Supper, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to the disciples, said, take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. And then He took the cup and gave thanks. See, He was giving thanks that He could be crucified, that He could die, that He could drink the cup of the Lord's wrath for your sins. He gave thanks to God that He could do that for you. As you look to Jesus, you see the example. So we can be thankful through Him. Secondly, we also can be thankful through Him because we abide in His Word. In verse 16 of Colossians, it says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And so as you read the Word of God, you see in the Word that there are examples of God's people who gave thanks despite terrible circumstances. And so through His Word, through Jesus in His Word, you can give thanks to God. For example, Hannah, after praying for a child and God answered and gave Hannah a child, she gave thanks through a heartfelt prayer of praise. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, my heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. Or Ezra, after the foundation of the temple was rebuilt, Ezra and the people gave thanks and sang praises to God for His steadfast love. My favorite is Daniel. If you want to turn there, it's interesting. Daniel chapter 6, we see this almost humorous scene of Daniel giving thanks. In Daniel chapter 6, Darius sets this law that anyone who prays to any other god besides the god that he institutes, the royal statute, that they pray to any god except to the king, they're going to be thrown into a lion's den. So Daniel's response in verse 10, Daniel knew what the writing was signed. He went home. in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom. So you see there in the word of Christ that there's an example of one who is being told he needs to pray to the king. He, in response, goes to his window, open for everyone to see, kneels down, prays, and gives thanks to God. These examples are given to us so that we can give thanks to Him. Finally, not only His example, not only His word, but we live in His power. The power of Christ through the Holy Spirit inside of you as a Christian is the power to change your heart so that you can give thanks to God. There is, in the presence of Jesus, in the moments of your desperation, there are times I feel depressed. There are times I feel like I can't go on. And there have been those moments when it is dark. And there, the presence of Christ comes to me in a comforting, amazing way so that I can turn and give thanks to God through Christ. You might be going through a difficult temptation of some sort that seems to always want to pull you back and pull you back into it. I guarantee if in that moment you stop, you call on the name of the Lord and His presence comes to you and reveals His presence with you by the Spirit of God, you can give thanks in that moment that you have a power and an open door to walk away. The chains are not heavier than the power of the Spirit. On and on, you can experience the power of giving thanks because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the power of gratitude residing inside your soul. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Doing thanksgiving doesn't come naturally, it comes supernaturally. And in our text, we see that it incorporates our whole lives. It is including both words and deeds, and it is accomplished through the Lord Jesus. The story continues. The man, the pilgrim with his walking stick, decided that before the snake was going to constrict him to death, he said, "Can I come before a judge and ask him whether this is right for you to do? Because you in your mind saying this is right because you're a snake and the snake needs to be at enmity with the seed of woman." And the snake says, "Sure." And so the pilgrim comes before William Bradford, the arbiter of the Plymouth colony. And he says, "Excuse me, sir. Let me explain to you what has happened." And he tells William Bradford of going through the cold winter pathway, seeing the snake taking him, holding him, warming him up, and then the snake constricts himself. And William Bradford says to the snake, "What do you have to say for yourself for this ingratitude?" And the snake says, "Well, the good book says that a serpent is to be at enmity with the seed of the woman." At this, William Bradford takes the old man's walking stick and says, "Well, the good book also says that he shall crush your head." And so he takes the stab and he crushes the head of the serpent and it dies. And I think of that ingratitude and the nature of unthankfulness can be crushed by the seed of the woman who is Jesus Christ. May that be our heart this Thanksgiving season. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would crush any ounce of ingratitude in our hearts to You. I pray that You would help me, both in word and in deed, to give thanks to You and to live a life which is a life of gratitude in the presence of others, just thanking You for what You give, even if I complain about things I don't have or this or that. Just change that so that I can be glad for what You have given and trust You for what I need. And I pray, Father, for all of us at this Thanksgiving season, as we remember the cherished holiday of gathering together to give thanks to God, may we remember that it is through Christ alone that we can give thanks. We praise You. We thank You. And in Jesus' name, all God's people give thanks and say, Amen.